I got a good feeling that I don't feel any pain at all, huh? Good evening, truth seekers. Mike Malloy here. Welcome to the Friday edition of the program. Everybody doing okay? That's good. We took Molly today for her first nasal vaccine of the H1N1 virus. And she's just fine. Apparently you have to do two. So to everybody who's been sending tons and reams of information about yes, no on H1N1 and whether or not to take that vaccine or provide it for your child, after going through everything and talking to my son who is in studying for his BSN and also works at a hospital, and who else did we talk to? A lot of people. We decided that it was imperative to have our 5-year-old child vaccinated. No offense to all the people who who are against vaccinations. I guess you have to make a choice, and the best way to do it is to make an informed choice. So, let's start this evening. And by the way, what we plan on doing tonight is taking more phone calls than we normally do. We have some items in the first part of each hour, and then bottom of each hour, we have our podcast trivia contest where you can win a free 1-year subscription to podcast downloads of this program. When you call in to play trivia, if you want to stick around after your shot at the question and comment on whatever topic you want to comment on tonight. Hopefully it'll be what we're talking about or something we talked about this week. Just let Kathy know and she'll hold you over. Okay? And that'll start at the bottom of the hour, this hour. This is from Prairie 2 for this evening. Shalom Rubashkin. You remember him? Probably not. He's the CEO of the Notorious Kosher Slaughterhouse in Pottsville, Iowa. And he has been convicted of 86 of 91 fraud charges with potential sentence of about 1,250 years. Give or take a century, Prairie 2 writes. He's been remanded to federal prison while awaiting trial in December on additional charges, 72 immigration charges, and the state of Iowa would like to get their hands on him for numerous child labor law violations. Prairie 2 writes, a good number of his fraud convictions carry a potential 20-year sentence, so he's likely to be in the federal pen, that's a cow revenge joke, for some time. At trial, he blamed his subordinates for the violations, despite his being the only one with the authority to take these actions. His subordinates all took plea deals and ratted him out. The jury only took 2.5 days to wade through a month worth of testimony and decide guilt on all but 5 charges. Contrast this with the show trial given the 300 immigrants rounded up at that plant by agents of the Bush crime family. The so-called trials were conducted in a special courtroom set up in a large county fair barn. Prisons were presented to a federal judge shackled in strings of 15, represented by lawyers who had been handpicked by the government and had spent only minutes on each of the dozens of cases each lawyer was given. This all happened within days of the roundup by immigration, but the facility was rented more than a month in advance by the government. The lawyers had to agree to use a script produced in advance by the Bush administration. They had to agree to use only that script and to emphasize use nothing else, present no evidence, make no motions, just use what the prosecution gave them to read and accept a flat fee for the appearance. It was a modest amount per unit, but made lucrative by volume, like any meat processing enterprise. Many of the invited attorneys refused to accept these terms. The meat processing plant, I mean courtroom, had several stations, a setup that these workers could certainly recognize from their recent employment. Each group of 15 was shuffled on a chain from holding pens to the station where they were informed that they were going to federal prison for 10 years unless the workers who spoke no English and few could even read Spanish, unless they pled guilty to a felony carrying a lesser sentence, less than 10 years. It is unlikely they understood any of their rights or the ramifications a plea would have on their future or on their families who were hiding in churches around Pottsville, Iowa. Prosecutors then moved the chain down the line to a judge who accepted their guilty plea, with the lawyer dutifully reading his script. The processed carcasses, I mean convicts, were then moved to another station where they were all given identical USDA meat inspection stamps, I mean duly rendered sentences, and distributed to the freezer, I mean the prison. Industrial efficiency. From holding pen to cold storage in a matter of minutes. Attorneys watching the proceedings said that the Bush Department of Justice officials seemed to be practicing, like they were trying to refine a system that could be scaled up. You could easily argue that as their crimes go, this wasn't even the top 10 worst things that the Bushes did. But they were just practicing. Conservatives wouldn't even have a problem with what they did as long as it isn't them being loaded into the cattle cars. So far, no lawyers have been disbarred, no judges impeached by Congress, nobody from the Department of Homeland Security or the Department of Justice has been fired for all this. A string of Bush crime family members is not being moved on a chain to their appearance before a judge. Pray to. Wait a minute, where's there any economic news in here? Go to his website, prairienumeral2.com. Yeah, the Prairie 2 can write things that are not pure economics, and this is one example. You remember that case, I would imagine. We talked about it several months ago when it happened. The meat processing plant in Iowa that was that hired undocumented workers, specifically children. There was the horror of it all. It was a kosher meat processing plant. When various rabbinical councils heard about this, they immediately stopped doing business with this thug. And so today he was found guilty on all these charges. Friday the 13th was not a good day for this guy. And please, you know, forget the fact that he's a Orthodox Jew. That is beside the point. He is one more example of capitalism at its finest. This is what capitalism does. It breaks the law. It breaks any law it can break. Wage and hour laws, immigration laws, health and sanitation laws, occupational safety and health laws, all of it. They mean nothing. Those rules stand in the way of profit. And profit is what capitalism is all about. Maximum profit. You know that. What about Tom Coburn, senator from... Where's this bastard from? Oklahoma, of course. When the Republicans talk about supporting the troops, we've talked about this a lot of times, that means hog snot. It means nothing. Just like when they talk about they're going to stop the gays from doing this or pass a law or upend Roe v. Wade or, you know, all that all that sop that they feed to their base, just like the kind of sop that is fed by Democrats to their base. Only the Republicans are particularly vicious about it. Well, Coburn, who always says he supports the troops along with the rest of these Republican chicken hawks, has put a hold on a bill designed to support veterans who desperately need the help. So 13 major military and veterans groups have joined forces to try to force Coburn to release the hold. Now, what's the hold all about? We'll tell you when we come back.
My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the year, and you could have it all.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Here comes the revolution. Time for...
So, Oklahoma Senator, Republican, of course, Tom Coburn has been identified by Senate aides as the member of the Senate who is preventing consideration of Senate S-1963, the Veterans Caregiver and Omnibus Health Benefits Act of 2009. He's done this by putting a hold on the bill, and hold, of course, is it's a part of Senate procedure where the Senate the senator putting the hold notifies the Senate Majority Leader that he, the objector, something about the bill he doesn't like, so he's going to stop it from being considered. That's fine if you're talking about a bill that regulates the. Regulates how much the government is going to provide for price supports for wheat. But we're talking about veterans. Now, Coburn, remember, he's another one of these members of the family. We've been talking about this, that Jeff Charlotte's book, The Family, psychopathic religious freaks, these Christians who occupy this house in D.C., where they do God knows what. But this is the same Tom Coburn, of course, who advised Senator John Ensign. Remember him? Who's also a member of the family. And was Boykin the wife of one of his legislative assistants or campaign assistants. And when caught, Ensign and his mommy and daddy decided to buy off the cuckolded husband. And I mean, this is the madness that is the Republican Party, right? But it's that Tom Coburn is a single senator in the United States holding up a veterans benefit bill that would aid health care givers of veterans returning home after this bloodbath in Afghanistan and Iraq. Now, according to Marine Times, Coburn is using that practice of putting a hold on this bill to prevent consideration of the Veterans Caregiver and Omnibus Health Benefits Act of 2009. When asked by reporters why he was putting a hold on the a veterans benefit bill, Coburn said he opposed the bill because he doesn't know how the bill will be funded. Now, this is the same rat son of a bitch who had voted for funding for the Afghanistan and Iraq wars in the amount of trillions of dollars with no way to pay for it. He will provide the money to send American soldiers and Marines into combat, this cowardly son of a bitch. But when it comes to handling the chaos that a wounded, either physically, emotionally, or spiritually, veteran, when he returns home, Tom Coburn says, no, I don't know how it's going to be funded. No. I know this is illegal, and it's just a fantasy of mine, but why doesn't a squad of Marines or a platoon of soldiers simply take some time off when they're stateside, suit up in full battle gear, and march into the Senate office building and go to Coburn's office and surround him. I mean, I would do that. Of course, then I would lose my commission, because I'm sure it would be an officer. I would lose my commission, or if I were a grunt, I would then wind up in the brig someplace or in a jail, military jail, stockade. When reporters pointed out to this cowardly rat bastard that he had voted for funding for sending troops there, he said, well, I only voted for funding for the war one time, which means he seems to have forgotten that he voted for funding for the wars again in 2006. Like all Republicans, and this guy's a doctor, right? Like all Republicans, he is a coward and he's a liar. And this is a part I do not understand. Why do military families, for the most part, according to the conventional wisdom, support Republicans? The Republicans crucify soldiers and Marines and airmen. They drop their pants and dump on veterans. They treat them like scum, like vermin. Why? Why do military families, according to the conventional wisdom, support Republicans? I don't want the answer. It's purely rhetorical. The veterans who are returning from Iraq and Afghanistan, wouldn't you think deserve support? Huh? Wouldn't you think? So Tom Coburn, another Republican son of a bitch who will send people to a war but doesn't want to take care of them when they come home. And why bother? Right, Tom?
Hey, truth seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour, before we go to the trivia hotlines here. By the way, we have one open line if you want to play trivia and win a free one-year subscription. Just give us a call, 877-996-2556. No guarantee that you'll even get to play. We're going to go to Daryl here in a moment. If Daryl gets it, you know. Tamara in Wisconsin wrote in during the break about Coburn. Hi, Mike. No surprise here. The hypocritical, phony, flag-waving Republican politicians who claim they always support the troops obviously only support spending money to send them far away to lands to do the heavy lifting for corporate interests. They support them then. But when the soldiers return home, a lot of them broken and in need of help, they're thrown into the pot of average Americans who the Republican politicians do not give a damn about, veteran or no. So to expect to have them support spending a dime on these veterans is naive. This jerk needs to be put on the spot so he can explain himself. I'd love to see him shudder and stammer and slobber all over himself trying to explain his hypocrisy. They never explain their hypocrisy, do they, Tamara? They come up with gibberish.
Well, of course I support the troops. The hold that I have on this is bourbon,
and then they start talking in tongues. But this is what these religious fanatics, Tom Coburn is a classic example of somebody who will stand in church on Sunday morning and bellow at the top of his lungs, "Onward, Christian soldiers." He will. Yes, he will. Given a chance to serve in the military, he fled. Given a chance to support the soldiers when he comes home, he gives them all the finger. I am constantly broken-hearted to think that Republican families with family members in the military support these pigs. Oh, well. Podcast trivia. Hi, Daryl. You going to try again, huh?
Yeah, I am, Mike.
All right, wait a second. Let's do some music. Play me some podcast trivia. Hey! Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Joining us from Las Vegas, Nevada, the city that never sleeps, Daryl.
Hey there.
Yeah, hey there. All right, you know how this game works. Jesus, how many times have you tried? Six?
I know. I need a real easy one, Mike.
Well, they're all easy. Come on. All right, here we go.
I know.
Which prominent, have you got the, wait a minute. Kathy, have you got the TikTok music here? Okay, go ahead, start the TikTok. Ah, there we go. All right, Daryl, no pressure.
All right.
Which prominent Bush-era Republican senator... Well, he wasn't a senator. He was really a member of... No, he was a senator. No, he's a member of the House. Which prominent Bush-era Republican member of the House resigned his leadership post and eventually resigned from Congress altogether after being indicted on conspiracy charges in a money laundering and campaign finance scheme? Was it Tom the Exterminator DeLay, Trent Dippity-Doo Lott, Larry Softshoe Craig, or John Kiss-and-Tell Ensign? Tom DeLay, Trent Lott, Larry Craig, or John Ensign?
See, this is a hard one for me.
Now, Daryl...
I have to be honest with you, with Mike. I've been maybe listening to you for about a good year, and I haven't been following politics a whole lot.
Well, you know who this is. Which prominent Bush-era Republican... member of the House resigned his House seat, his leadership post.
Okay.
Because he was indicted on all these charges, and they're still pandering. Do you want a hint?
I'll take a hint.
All right. Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, okay. I know who that is. Read them off to me one more time.
John Ensign, Larry Craig, Trent Lott, or Tom DeLay?
All right, Tom DeLay.
All right.
I thought that's who it was before.
Yeah. I know you did. Sure you did. All right, Daryl. Look, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You won. And I give you him.
Mike?
Yes.
Let me tell you this, though. Since I've been listening, man, I really have learned a lot from you, and I appreciate it, all your truthfulness and... You know, and I just appreciate everything because I've learned a lot, truly.
Well, okay. You know, don't forget, though, that I'm just, I'm just like the person that holds the meeting. None of the stuff, very little of it anyway, comes directly from me. It's a group effort. All right, Daryl, listen.
All right.
You got it. All right.
Well, thank you.
Now, don't hang up.
I won't.
Stay on hold. Kathy is going to get the pertinent information. Daryl in Las Vegas. Finally. All right. Now everybody calls it, where's my hint? Well, you know, occasionally we give a hint. Occasionally we do. All right, now if you'd called in for trivia, we'll try it again at the bottom of the next hour. All right? James is calling from Tulsa, Oklahoma, listening on XM. James, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hey.
How's it going?
Well, let me see. Okay. Nothing to write home to mom and dad about, but it's going okay.
I just wanted to comment about Coburn.
Yeah, okay.
Please do not let up on that jerk. We have to put up with this clown continuously. And I'd like to apologize from being from the state that punishes the country with this guy.
Hey, listen, I'm from Georgia, pal. We have two members of our House delegation that make sense, and the rest of them, I think there's 12 more who are insane. And then we have two senators here that are, you know, our boy Saxby Chambliss is every bit as nuts as Tom Coburn. So no apologies necessary. This is just what Republicans do. They send people off to war. Democrats do too, but at least the Democrats will make an effort to, try to glue back together the broken pieces of these soldiers and Marines when they come home. The Republicans won't do that. And Coburn is just the latest example. No, no apology necessary, James.
Well, just don't let up on him. He needs every bit of what you're saying and more.
I hear you. Well, the same thing can be said from these clowns that represent us. All right. Thanks, James.
Thanks a lot.
All right, sir. I appreciate you checking in. No, it's hell. It's hell when you live in a state where you have representation, either the House or the Senate, that are so swinish, just such bastards, where it is so obvious that they respond to corporate pressure. You know, they tell the folks back home, whatever the folks back home want to be, and in so many races, depending on the state, depending on the region of the country, a Democrat who will stand up and try to tell the truth has an ice cube's chance in hell. A Republican who will stand up and just lie right into your eyes, just stand there and pump the lies and the BS right into your eyes and ears, gets elected. But like I said, the one thing I do not understand, and I never will, is why any military family supports any Republican representative or senator. Maybe somebody can tell me why. If you are a military family member and you vote Republican, I'm not going to eat you alive. I'd like to know why. Why in the name of God do you support Republicans who constantly cut your throat and your service member? They don't even hesitate. They look you right in the eye, these Republican senators and members of Congress. They look you right in the eye and pat you on the back. Good boy, good boy, good soldier boy, good boy, while they're shoving a shiv right into your rib cage. And they do it over and over and over and over again. But every Veterans Day or every election cycle, these are the hypocritical sons of bitches, these Republicans who get out there and act like, oh, yeah, I support the troops. No, you don't. In the first place, most of these Republicans are chicken hawks. They send other people's children and husbands and wives and uncles and aunties and nephews to war, but given a chance, they, you know, they get student deferments or get somebody knocked up or go hide or, well, I was too busy, as Dick Cheney so famously said. I was too busy in the 60s to mess around with that crap. But Dick Cheney, of course, is a big advocate. Oh, yeah, go kill, go kill. I don't understand that. I was in some kind of one of these. I know it was Ross. Do y'all have Ross department stores? We stopped at a mall today for something. Oh, a wedding gift for friends that are getting married. Excuse me. And so we're in this discount, you know, El Cheapo. I know what you're thinking. You're getting a gift, a wedding gift. These people are like in their 50s. They've been living together a long time. They're combining. They've been dating a long time. They're combining households. What are you going to do? It's not a white dress wedding or a tux wedding. They, you know, just a couple of old people get married. So we were in there to buy them a picture frame or something. And I'm looking at some of the stuff, and I pick up one picture frame. It's real nice, silver. I looked at it, and on the back it said, Made in Vietnam. And all that stuff we were talking about this week came rushing back. 58,000 dead, and I'm holding in my hand a picture frame made in Vietnam. And I just stand there and I think, okay, what was it about? I can't even spell the name of. Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new American century. I want a big, big Mac and double fries. I want to wave my American standards high. I want to fly my flag across your sky. Welcome to the new American century. We'll be right back.
Uh-oh, he just had another cup of coffee. Here's Mike Malloy.
It's 10 before the hour. When we come back after this next break, please have something to write with. I want to give you a phone number or a fax and a fax number for Congresswoman Barbara Lee, 9th District, Oakland, Berkeley, California. This is very, 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 very important. Remember Cassie from Texas about 4 years ago? She called my program. When I was on, I guess it was on Air America, her brother, there was only Cassie and her brother. Her mom was in jail. Her father was just not involved in the family. Cassie was a minor at the time, and her brother was about to be deployed. And Cassie had nowhere to go, no one to take care of her. And through the efforts of a lot of people, her brother was allowed to stay in the country. You know, complete his military service, but stay in the country. Well, Cassie just sent me this email. So when we come back after the next break, please have something handy that you can write with, because I'm really going to ask you to do this. And when you hear what Cassie just sent me, you will definitely agree that it's worth a fax or a phone call. All right? Tim is in Detroit. Hey, Tim, welcome to the program.
Well, before I go into my subject, Mike, I just want to say, you know, my heart goes out to Cassie, and hopefully...
Well, she's okay now. She's doing great. She's a student. She's at university. But wait till you hear the story after the top of the hour. Just have something to write with when we come back after the break at the top of the hour, okay?
Gotcha.
Okay.
I wanted to go back to your first story that Perry Toose sent to you.
Uh-huh.
You know, with this Bush crime family, obviously they don't care about the Constitution. You know, this whole process of putting these immigrants through these meat market trials and having their
right
so-called defense attorneys do the scripts and so on. I mean, they're violating the due process clause in the Constitution, the 14th Amendment, which contains the due process clause. They're mm-hmm. also violating the right to a fair trial.
And the Fifth Amendment, the right to not incriminate oneself. The right to the Miranda rights. You have a right to remain silent. You have a right to an attorney. If you can't afford one, the court will appoint one. Yada, yada, yada. But fascists don't care about that stuff. They don't care about that. They don't care if you're a Mexican immigrant or a Palestinian or an Eastern European or an Honduran or it doesn't matter.
And yeah, we sort of in the collective term, you know, we're over in Afghanistan to supposedly build their nation into a democratic state. I mean, it's a farce. And, you know, where are the American people to protest this stuff?
Well, where we've already protested, where we've always protested, but, it doesn't apparently work anymore. Right?
And I know you've talked about in the past, especially today with the media the way it is today, a lot of the coverage wouldn't be there. But I wonder if there were a certain large number of people out there, let's say over a million, if indeed that would put a lot of pressure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it would. It would. It absolutely would. All right. Thanks, Tim. Don't forget, have a pen ready when I come back after the next break, because I really, really, really would like you to take this number down. All right. Where are we? Oh, there we are. Till is in Austin, Texas. Hey, Till.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I always enjoy listening to you.
Thank you.
I've got a suggestion to make regarding how politics is dealt with, but first I'd like to confess to my level of political naivete.
Yeah.
And that is that, remember that old story about, you know, the devil approaching a gaggle of politicians, offering them wheelbarrows of money, you know, saying it'd be completely untraceable.
Mm-hmm.
And all that he wants in return is their souls, their children's souls, and their children's children's souls.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, break into a huddle and discuss it. And one of them comes out and approaches the devil and says, okay, what's the catch? I'm so naive, politically naive, that until very recently, I thought that was a joke.
Yeah. Well, it's funny as hell, except it's probably not a joke.
Exactly. So my contribution, such as it is there's a lot of talk about getting money out of politics.
Uh-huh.
But I think maybe what we ought to consider doing is taking politics out of governance.
That's yeah. But I don't know how you do that. The only way you do that, and I hear you, and I completely agree with what you're saying. But the only way you get politics out of governance is to set up a totalitarian form. That's what fascism is. There is no dissent. There is no political party. There is no, not that political parties are good, but I'm just saying, if there's no politics, then it's just rule of whoever's in charge. Do this because I say, and I've got the military to back me up. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I don't know if you have, I mean, we have a constitution that gives us guidelines if we would follow it.
Yeah, oh, sure.
So, I mean, if we have a set of rules and we discuss them and follow them, to me, that's not politics. Politics.
Oh,
is
I see.
When
okay.
You say I want to go. You say you want to go left, and you say, "Well, I'm going to go. I want to go right," meaning you want to go left.
You're right.
You know, that's anyway. That's how I interpret it.
Okay, I understand what you're saying. Get the phony crap out of it, and get these people to the point that they're there to govern. They're not there. They're there to govern to provide leadership for 330 million of us on the proper way to live together as one big family, whether we like it or not, as one big tribe or family, whatever you want to call it. Doesn't make any difference how many different colors or genders or religions or no religions are involved here. If we're going to be Americans, I understand what you're saying, man. I understand perfectly. And you know what? I don't think that that's going to happen.
Well, I don't either. I'm kind of with his name from the coffee beans, you know.
Bob Alexander.
We're past the point of no return. But I guess, you know, I mean, unless you're just going to keel over and die, I guess you still have to have hope.
You have to have hope. You have to not ever give up. I agree with that.
But I greatly appreciate your show, and I guess I'll let somebody else talk.
All right, Till, thank you. Always good to hear from you. Take care, okay?
All right,
man. We'll be back after the break. If you would, have something to write with, because I know once I tell you this story that Cassie just sent to me, you're going to want to respond. I promise you're going to want to respond. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy Program. I hope you have pen or pencil handy, okay? Please do this. You know, I don't beg a lot, but boy, I am on this one. Please do this. Here's the story. There's this woman named Alexis Hutchinson. She is an Army specialist from Oakland, California. She has been arrested by the United States Army, and her 11-month-old son was put into county foster care system here in Georgia. Mom has now been ordered to deploy to Afghanistan on Sunday, day after tomorrow, where she will be court-martialed. Now here's the rest of the story. She's an Army specialist from Oakland, California, Alexis Hutchinson. She's the single mother of an 11-month-old little boy. Currently, Mom is confined to Hunter Army Airfield near Savannah, that's not far from here, where she has been posted since February of 2008. She is being threatened with a court-martial if she does not agree to be deployed to Afghanistan, even though there is no one, to take care of her child while she's away. This is a mom with an 11-month-old baby who I'll bet you dollars to doorknobs is in the military because there was nothing else for her to do. In anticipation of going overseas, Specialist Hutchinson flew to California and left her son with her mother, Angelique, as per her Army family care plan. However, after a week of caring for the child, Grandma realized that she was unable to take care of the baby on top of her other duties, which include taking care of a special needs daughter, taking care of her own ailing mother, and her ailing sister. So here's Grandma that has three people sick that she's already caring for. And her daughter says, Mom, can you take care of my 11-month-old, your 11-month-old grandson while I'm in Afghanistan? Grandma took the kid. In late October, grandmother, Angelique, informed Specialist Hutchinson and Hutchinson's commander that she, Grandma, was not able to care for her grandbaby after all. So the Army gave Specialist Hutchinson an extension of time to find someone else to care for her infant son, 11 months old. And in the meantime, grandmother brought the baby back to Georgia. But just a few days before Specialist Hutchinson was scheduled to deploy, she was told that she would not get the extended time after all and would have to deploy on schedule on Sunday, even though there was no one to care for her child. God damn it, what did they want her to do? Put her on the tarmac? Put the little boy on the tarmac and walk away? Faced with that choice, Specialist Hutchinson did not show up for her plane. She refused to put her baby on the tarmac and walk away. The military had her arrested. They took the kid and put this 11-month-old baby in the county foster care system. And let me tell you something, truth seekers, I goddamn live in Georgia. And one of the worst foster care systems in America is right here. I cannot tell you how many kids commit suicide, how many kids are raped and abused and beaten to death when they're put in foster care. This is a cesspool where it concerns foster care. Georgia. Deep breath. Currently, Specialist Hutchinson is scheduled to fly to Afghanistan Monday for a special court-martial on Sunday. She's facing up to a year in jail. So her mother flew back from Oakland to Georgia and retrieved the baby, but is overwhelmed and is not able to provide care for this 11-month-old baby. Think about this. Think about this. Here's a grandma who's got another daughter, one daughter, Specialist Hutchinson, is ordered to deploy and leave her kid with nobody, with no goddamn body, nobody. Get on the plane, Specialist. So here's grandma. She's already caring for three people who desperately need her, and to bring an 11-month-old baby into this. The Army doesn't give a goddamn. They don't care. Get on the plane, Specialist Hutchinson. But I have a baby. Put the baby down. Get on the plane. You think I'm exaggerating? That's exactly what they told her to do. Exactly. And she said no. So now she's in the brig. Now she's in the stockade. She's confined to quarters. Specialist Hutchinson would like to have more time to find someone to care for her baby. However, she does not have a lot of family or friends who could do so. She says, quote, it is outrageous that they would deploy a single mother without a complete and current family care plan. I would like to find someone I trust who can take care of my son, but I cannot force my family to do this. They're dealing with their own health issues, end quote. All right, what can you do? Son of a bitch, these stories drive me crazy. They just make me just a raving, frothing, foaming maniac. Well, I guess you can hear that. You got to contact Congresswoman Barbara Lee. Because Congresswoman Lee will be able to request that the Army not deploy Specialist Hutchinson to Afghanistan. Okay. Here's Congresswoman Barbara Lee's phone number. 510-763-0370. That's her office, I believe, in Oakland. Here's the office in D.C. Phone number 202-225-2661. You want fax numbers? All right. The California fax number is 510-763-6538. And the Washington, D.C. fax number is 202-225-9817. Okay, let me give the phone numbers again. Congresswoman Barbara Lee. That's where Specialist Hutchinson is from. California's 9th District, Oakland and Berkeley. Congresswoman Barbara Lee's phone number in California, 510-763-0370. And the fax number is 510-763-6538. Congresswoman Lee's phone number in D.C., 202-225-2661. And the fax number in D.C., 202-225-9817. Now, there's also a website, CourageToResist.org. Spell it all out, CourageToResist.org/Alexis, A-L-E-X-I-S. That's the bomb's name. CourageToResist.org/Alexis. With enough pressure, and I don't mean that in a negative way, on Congresswoman Lee, you can help stop this. This is the Army telling a mother with an 11-year-old son, put your son down, get on the plane. 11-month-old, put your son down, get on the plane. You're going to Afghanistan where you're going to be court-martialed. Son of a bitch. Jesus.
If you're tired of the fighting, come on. No more wars, no more lying, come on. All my people in the world, come on. Every boy, every girl, come on. If you know it ain't over till God says that it's over, come on. Come on, let's go.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's Mike Malloy.
Look at the state of the world that we live in, where no one gives a damn about the future of children. Just build on the
21 past the hour, and just for the record here, if you heard me ranting and raving like a maniac about this story, Specialist Alexis Hutchinson being ordered onto a plane to go to Afghanistan and be court-martialed because she missed her plane because she has an 11-month-old baby. She didn't miss it. She didn't go. And no place to put the baby. And the Army said, we don't give a goddamn. Get on the plane. If you think I want to hear your phone call or your email about, well, she knew when she signed up, please spare me. All right? I don't want to, you know, I'm not interested. I'm not interested at all in that kind of garbagey rejoinder or reaction to this story. This woman needs help, and so does her 11-month-old son. And if the United States, by goddamn army, cannot give this woman 30 days or 60 days or whatever it takes, she's not asking to be get out of the army. She's asking for time to find somebody to care for her 11-month-old baby. And if the United States, by God, army cannot do that, then damn them. But don't send me an email saying, well, Mike, it's a volunteer army. She knew. I don't want to read it. I swear to God, you send something like that, I will delete it and I'll block you from ever writing to me again. I just don't want to hear it. Michael in Roswell writes, regarding Specialist Hutchinson, in ordinary times, this would be an excellent case for either reassignment or a hardship discharge, not a court-martial. But these are not ordinary times. Political pressure and lots of media exposure are likely the only means to obtain some relief. As it is, if political pressure is applied to have this young woman's order changed, the military will still make her remaining time in service very, very miserable. I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will. But what are you going to do?
Well, Mike, she joined.
Oh, well. I will give the phone numbers again next hour. Jerry is in Arkansas. Listen, XM, Jeremy, or Jerry, welcome to the program.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
Say it again. I'm sorry.
Hang on just a second. Let me get this off the phone.
What?
Can you hear me now?
A little bit better. Yes, sir.
Okay. Mike, you brought up Dick Cheney a while ago.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, I love your show, man. I really love it.
Well, thank you.
I was watching the History Channel a few weeks ago, and they were showing the trial of Hermann Göring, you know, one of Hitler's right-hand men.
Right.
And I got to watching him and his mannerisms and his features and his interaction with his lawyer, and they were showing footage of him before we captured him. How he looked and acted and reminded you just like Dick Cheney.
Right. You noticed that too, huh?
Yeah, and I was wanting to ask you, do you think it's possible that the Nazis was able to clone him before we hung him, and that's who Dick Cheney is?
There's no telling. So many of the people in the upper reaches of the Bush crime family, I swear to God, they acted like Nazis, except George W. Bush. He just acted like a fool. But
amen to that.
But the people who were running the government, yeah, I mean, does Alberto Gonzalez look like a part of the Nazi high command? Does Irving Libby, you know, all those thugs, you know, I mean, the quick answer is they're cut from the same cloth. I wouldn't be surprised if what was that story? The boys from Brazil, or there was a movie.
They cloned Hitler.
They cloned Hitler. So
maybe they cloned the gang.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised at all. Jerry, thanks, man. I appreciate you listening. And thanks for calling. Thanks for checking in. All right, we have a break coming up here. When we come back, podcast trivia. If you're on the line, Kathy will see if you want to take a shot at this. If you don't, that's cool. We have a couple open lines here. If you want to play podcast trivia, the number is 877-996-2556. Daryl in Las Vegas finally won one. All right, let's see if you can get one. All right, give us a call, 877-996-2556, and we'll see if we can give away one more when we come back. And then again at the bottom of the next hour. So stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
and strikes for higher wage. Planet lurches to the right as ideologies engage. Suddenly it's repression, moratorium of rights. What did they think the politics of panic would invite?
Oh, my God. It's time once again for podcast trivia on the Malloy program. Are you ready? Are any of us ever ready? But we're going to give it a shot. You get the right answer, you win a one-year subscription to Malloy Podcasts, sans the commercials. Is it sans or song? Song. You don't pronounce the S, right? Depends on what the next letter is. Well, there is no next letter of the next word. Song, the commercials. Oh, God. Stick to English, Malloy. Hi, Jonathan. How are you?
Yes. Great. Great.
Malvern, PA.
Yes, Malvern, Pennsylvania.
All right, sir. Are you ready to take a shot, so to speak, at this?
I'm totally ready.
Okay. You're going to win, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right, here we go. Start the music, maestro. All right, Jonathan. Bush was famous for giving everybody a nickname, right?
Yes.
What was Bush's nickname for Dick Cheney? Was it A, Crash Cart, B, Big Time, C, Unca Dick, or D, Mr. President? What was Bush's nickname for Dick Cheney? Was it A, Crash Cart, B, Big Time, C, Unca Dick, or D, Mr. President?
Would you give the options to me one more time?
Sure. A, Crash Cart, B, Big Time, C, Unca Dick, D, Mr. President.
I would say Big Time.
Yes! Oh, okay. All right. You got it.
Thank you.
You had to reach out for that one, didn't you, Jonathan?
You had to
reach into the Wayback Machine to come up with that, right?
Thank you so much.
Well, you're more than welcome. It seems like a long time ago that these thugs were running everything. All right, Jonathan, stay where you are. Kathy will get the information. Thanks for playing, man.
Thank you. I'll be right here.
All right, Jonathan. Hey, we're two for two tonight. I can't believe that Daryl in Las Vegas finally... But he did, didn't he? All right. Regarding the story that Cassie sent me about specialist Alexis Hutchinson, single mother, 11-month-old baby boy, being ordered to leave the kid, put him down, soldier, get on the plane to go to Afghanistan, and the madness that's involved here. Giovanna writes, you know, regarding Tom Coburn's hold on programs for veterans, and Specialist Hutchinson. Giovanna writes, Mike, these two stories dovetail, don't they? Coburn puts a hold on a bill that would help the armed forces with issues that are facing Specialist Hutchinson and her family. But there's no help for her because he is a stubborn fool. I hate these people. Why is the military treating people like this? What kind of people are these who would send a single mother who needs help into the jaws of possible death or handicap? What a stupid, crazy world. As they say in Italian, disgraziata. Peace. And then in parentheses, yeah, right, Giovanna. It's just a terrible, terrible, terrible story. What, you know, how does a mother handle this? I mean, okay, she's in the military. She's a specialist. She, you know, she's had special training. She's what, probably been in for a couple of years at this point. And she's ordered to deploy to Afghanistan. And she says, okay, I have an 11-month-old baby. Can I get some extra time here before I have to go so I can find someplace to, someone to take care of my baby while I'm going? Sure, go ahead. And she makes an effort, and her mother can't handle the situation because she's already caring for three people who are in desperate need of help themselves. So Specialist Hutchinson has the baby again and asks for more time, and then the military says yes, and then they say no, and then they order her on a plane when there's no place for her to put her baby. They take her baby, after they finally arrest her when she does not show up for the plane, they take her baby, and give it to this corrupt, filthy, degenerate family services or whatever it's called here in Georgia. And like I said, trust me, it's family services in much the same way that Dr. Mengele was a family physician. I swear to God, it's horrible here. Horrible. Every time you turn around, there's another investigation of another brutal beating of some child in foster care who's been beaten to death or raped or killed. You know, it's awful, just awful. And then grandma comes and gets the kid again, but grandma can't do it. And mom is in jail, and the army is saying, get on the next plane, which leaves Monday. She's going to be court-martialed. She's going to go to Afghanistan. And the first thing off the plane, what, pick up a weapon? No. Get court-martialed. And there's only one way to stop this. Call Congresswoman Barbara Lee. Just please do this. That's Specialist Hutchinson's member of Congress. Her phone number in California is 510-763-0370. 510-763-0370. And Congresswoman Lee's number in D.C. is 202-225-2661. 202-225-2661. Now, here comes the pressure. If you're going to do this, you got to do it now. Of course, you're not going to get anybody in the office. But you got to get it on the voice machine, the voicemail or the message machine. You got to call now. You got to call Saturday. You got to call Sunday. This woman is going to be put on a plane and sent out of here on Monday. I don't know. I guess she's going to be sent on Sunday. No, she's going to be sent Sunday. I'm sorry, Sunday. So you've got one shot. I wish I would have had this story earlier. One shot tomorrow, tonight. Will you do that? Will you please do that? Just do that. Just make that phone call. Just do it tonight. It doesn't matter what time it is. If you're listening to the program, you're up. Call. Oh, man. Tim is driving in Wisconsin. Tim, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Mike?
Tim?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Hear you fine. Okay, I'll put you on hold, Tim, and we'll see if we can get a connection here. Mike is in Paw Paw, Michigan. Mike, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me.
Sure.
Just wondering, why don't we go ahead and put blame where it is? The person that really has ultimate responsibility for this is the head of the army, the commander in chief. We blamed Dick Cheney and the rest of the gang for their policies. Why don't we just go ahead and blame Obama?
Okay, what good will that do? I mean, if we're just looking to blame, you're right. Absolutely.
We do need to call. Something
right,
needs to
right.
Done
so,
I,
so.
I agree with you. We're not going that route. It's a noble cause, and I'm glad you brought it up.
I have no problem, Mike, getting all over Barack Obama for what he's doing. Because he is going to order more troops. This is madness. It's insanity. I do it every night. You know, I'm no apologist for this president because he's a Democrat. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, no, really, honestly, it's not. As commander in chief, if the president of the United States, I don't care who it is, I never suggested that George Bush reach down through all those layers of command and snatch up some specialist and try to save his or her life. That's not the way the military works. Now, could the president of the United States do that? Sure he could. To what end? It would destroy chain of command. It would mean that the commanders all the way up and down the line, which may or may not be a bad thing, but as long as we have in place chain of command, it has to be done a certain way. And the way to do that is to put the pressure where the pressure first belongs. Go to the member of Congress, in whose district this woman lives, and have her get in touch with the base commander or whoever makes the decision to deploy this particular unit. The president doesn't make that decision. That is made by the Army. So,
correct.
You know, to go out, of course it's Obama's fault. Blame the same as it is Bush's blame. Bush is the one that got us into this madness. Obama is the one that so far in his 10 months, don't forget, Bush was there for 8 years. Obama's been there for 10 months and he hasn't gotten us out yet. So, okay. But if what we're trying to do here is get this woman, off the hook, she's not asking to be taken out of the military. She's asking for extra time to find someone to care for her baby. That's all she's doing. And that's I think it's a just cause. Mike, thanks. I get your point. Appreciate it. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malone.
The voice inside your head. It's Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour, I'm getting emails from people telling me that Barbara Lee's mailbox is now at both Oakland and D.C. are full. Here's her email address, Barbara.Lee, Barbara.Lee at mail. .house.gov. All right, that's easy enough. Barbara.Lee at mail.house.gov. And remember, this woman is going to be forced to deploy, I think, on Sunday. All right, let's see if we can get Tim now. Tim, driving in Wisconsin. I'm all right. Can you hear? You got the connection now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry about that earlier.
That's all right. Go ahead.
But earlier you were talking about why somebody would in the military would vote Republican.
Right.
I'm actually in the process. I'm 32 of enlisting into the reserves. I've already made a pretty good life for myself, but I've always wanted to do this. I do vote Republican. I also will vote Democrat. Also, I consider myself a libertarian.
You have kids?
I think this country's gotten a little bit too, with the Democrats and Republicans, and there's too many people too far one way, too far to the other.
Okay, but let me ask you, what would, do you have children? Are you married?
Yes.
Yes, both? Why would you want to leave your children and go into the military? That's assuming that your reserve unit is activated.
Right.
Why would you want to do that? Don't you feel that since you have children, that your duty is to stay and take care of your children?
I have taken care of my children. My children are 13 and 11.
Right at the time where they desperately need a father.
And which I understand, Mike. The other thing you got to look into, I'm also going into this for a career option to get me out of what I'm doing now. Currently, I am gone 65 plus hours a week on the road. I'm not home for my children now, and I can't keep doing what I'm doing.
And you feel you have no other options but to join the military? What happens if you're killed when your children are 16 and 12?
You can be killed walking out your front door.
Well, of course you can.
Okay.
You can be killed from eating a pork chop, but that's not the point. The point is when you join the military, the sole reason that a military exists is to go into combat. So, you know, you can eat a pork chop sandwich, and the goal is not to go into combat, it's to eat a sandwich and you can die. But don't do that. I asked you a straight up question. What happens if you join the military and you die and your children have to grow up without you? Does that not mean anything to you?
In the same respect, Mike, for what I do for a living currently, there's a chance I could not come home every day. It is very dangerous what I do now.
All right. What about the people you might have to kill? Are you ready to go kill?
That does not bother me.
It doesn't bother you. All right. Well, maybe your children would be better off with you not around if it doesn't bother you. Goodbye, Tim. Jesus Christ. What about the people you have to get? Oh, that doesn't bother me. Yeah, get away from your kids, Tim. Quick. Get into the military. Stay on the road. Go find a motel until they call you up. If you can be that indifferent, although that just might be macho bull because you're talking on the radio and you want people to think you're some kind of a hot shot. I don't care what it is. Don't call me again. I don't like people like you. Libertarian my ass. What about the people you might have to kill? That doesn't bother me. Son of a bitch. Well, that answers my question. Why do people who are involved in the military vote Republican? They don't care one way or the other. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters. Forget about it. Okay. Yeah. So killing somebody in combat is a career choice. I'll be a son of a bitch. Man. Oh, well. All right, let me give you the fax number for Barbara Lee. I don't know. Do you have we have a fax here, but of course we have a studio here because the phone the voicemails of both phones now are full. But the faxes in Oakland, it's 510-763-6538. And in D.C., it's 202-225-9817. And this is about specialist Alexis Hutchinson of Oakland, California, single mother of an 11-month-old boy, currently confined to her quarters at Hunter Army Airfield near Savannah. Let's quick and do a break. I've got to stand up, move around. I can't believe I just actually talked to someone who said, when I said, what about killing people? Oh, that doesn't bother me. I don't like to have that thought in my head or that taste in my mouth. I need to be around something that has some kind of respect for human life to get that out of my head. Jesus Christ. How do you be a parent if you have that attitude? No, it wouldn't bother me. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back. This is the Malloy Program. Interestingly, I just got a link. Channel 7, KGO-TV in San Francisco, the ABC affiliate, is reporting this story this way. Into the story on their website, it says, after the military police arrested her and wouldn't let her friend take the child, they put him in Child Protective Services. Hutchison, Specialist Hutchison, now faces a number of charges, including AWOL, missing movement, desertion, failing to have a family care plan, and disobeying an officer. An Army representative spoke to ABC 7 about the case. Kevin Larson with the Army said, quote, because her case could present hardship to not only her child, but her family, the command is working with her and her legal counsel. This is the way they spell on the website of Channel 7, KGO. Good God. Come on, folks. Who edits this website? This is ridiculous. Working with her and her legal counsel to resolve the situation. In the meantime, she will not be deployed. However, grandmother says that the boy has been taken away from his mother. By the time he actually sees his mother, he'll probably be 2 years old. Will she ever know? Will she even know? I can't read this. KGO Channel 7, you better get a webmaster who can, or somebody who can spell. This is ridiculous. The military, it goes on to say, I'll try to read it. It's like reading a foreign language here. What the hell is wrong with these people at KGO? According to the Army spokesperson, right now Hutchison is not under arrest, but is confined to Hunter Army Airfield until this matter is resolved. Yeah, right. The military gives new moms 4 months to remain stateside before they're deployed to a war zone. Also in the Army, the divorce rate of female soldiers was 3 times higher last year than among male soldiers. Okay. Which means keep up the pressure. If you're getting a full mailbox from Representative Barbara Lee, then call her Monday. Because according to this Army spokesman, unless this is BS, put out by ABC 7 in San Francisco, which one hopes it's not. The Army's not going to send her off on Sunday as originally planned. Too much pressure. So just keep the pressure on. Let's see. A couple of people are saying Barbara Lee's mailbox is full, but if you hold on, you get connected to a secondary connection where you're able to leave a voice message. That is, if you call the 510 number, which I guess is San Francisco. Yeah, so if the Army's not going to deploy her, they've got 4 or 5 charges against her because of her refusal to leave her 11-month-old child without care. And again, she's not using the baby as a reason to get out of her service. She's not using her 11-month-old son as a reason not to be deployed. She's not trying to break her contract. All she asked for was more time to find, according to everything I've read about it, okay? She asked for more time to find someone to care for her child. Then she'll go to Afghanistan. What the hell are we doing sending mothers with 11-month-old sons into a combat zone? What are we doing sending fathers with 11-month-old sons into a war that is nothing, nothing but an aggressive move by a capitalist power in this country to take over one more little part of the world, and it's not going to work? I mean, this is, I realize, you know, you got to be so careful what you say nowadays. If you say something like, what are we doing deploying mothers with 11-month-old babies into a war zone? The quick reaction is, well, what about the men? Look, I don't have any problem with being less than completely gender equal in certain subjects. Okay? You know, the dad is not going to nurse the baby. The dad did not carry the baby in his womb for 9 months, and yada, 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 yada. So, again, if you think about sending an email about, well, what about the men? I don't want anybody to be in Afghanistan, frankly. None of our people. What the hell are we doing there? But there is something in all of our genetic structure that says you don't send women into combat. I don't care about the Amazons. I don't care about Greek mythology. I don't care about, you know, the Israelis insisted everybody join the army when they reach a certain age. Okay, if societies want to do that garbage, I think the Russians have that availability. The Chinese do. Okay, fine. It's insane. It's madness. It's a death wish for the culture, for the society that does that. It's a goddamn death wish. Yet let's not just kill off the young men. Let's also kill off the young women who are the only of the gender able to reproduce the species. Let's kill goddamn everybody. Why not do that? Huh? Would that make the warmongers happy? Would that be a good career choice? Let's just kill everybody. I'm getting too pissed off. I really am. You know, I hate wars of opportunity, which is what these two that were involved in. That's all they are. We're not stopping terrorism, for Christ's sake. Anybody with the sense of a tree stump understands we're creating terrorism by doing this, and we're perpetrating. What do you call it when you send a drone over a village and fire down hellfire missiles that kills scores of civilians? What do you call that? When the drone is operated out of Maryland or Texas or wherever the hell it is, you know, by somebody in the military who you say, yeah, this is like a video game, man. Go ahead. What do you call that? Do you call that terrorism or do you call that combat? What do you call that? Huh? I call it terrorism. And that's the new. Chosen method of killing people now by the United States government and the U.S. military. You know, just hit them with drones. What the hell? Never know what hit them. Boom. The military-industrial complex loves this. Oh, goddamn, we got a new toy. Hey, watch this. Boom. I'm sick of it. Go ahead. Justify these wars. Go ahead. I don't care if you're right or left, Democrat, Republican. I don't give a damn who you are. Justify our military involvement in Iraq. Justify our military involvement, our invasion and occupation of either of these two countries, Afghanistan. Go ahead. Tell me about it. Tell me how we're doing what. What are we doing there? Go ahead. Go ahead. Send me an email. Call me up. Tell me what. Justify it. Tell me it's right and proper and it's all for mom, flag, and cherry, apple, whatever the hell it is. I don't care what kind of pie. I don't eat pie. God, this is madness. And we have a president, a 47-year-old president, who can't make a decision. I've already given him the answer. Go before Congress. If the American people are this goddamn bloodthirsty, okay, let's get it up front. The President of the United States has no business, zero business, deciding to send people into combat. It's not in the Constitution, you libertarians, you constitutional purists. Put your money where your goddamn mouths are. Every one of you is a hypocrite. It's not up to the president to do... decide to declare war. It's up to the legislative branch. It's up to the Senate. It's up to the House. It's up to somebody else, not him. Are we that bloodthirsty? Let's put it to a vote, huh? We put it to a vote whether or not gay people can get married. Let's put it to a goddamn vote as to whether or not we want to continue to kill people in Afghanistan and have our people come back broken into a million pieces. Go ahead. Let's put it to a vote. Come on. Put it to a vote.
Something's on my mind.
Get your news unfiltered, only with Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Yeah, how pro-family are Republicans? Like Tom Coburn, here we have situations of military deployments that are just outrageously inappropriate. I mean, they really are just outrageously inappropriate. Specialist Hutchinson being the most recent. And then Tom Coburn, this lousy son of a bitch who has put a hold on relief programs, money, stuff for returning vets. And this is the family, pro-family political party. You know, anybody who believes that ought to have their head examined with a hammer. I mean, really. The email address to Barbara Lee is, I've had an email here that says it comes back, address unknown, but it is barbara.lee@mail.house.gov. I've gotten one email from somebody who said that, you know, it's coming back undeliverable, but that's it. I mean, go to her website. It's there. barbara.lee@mail.house.gov. Right, Kathy? Okay. Oh, what is this? Stephen is calling from El Paso. Go ahead, Stephen. I'll give you a minute.
Hey, Mike, how's it going? Never heard your show before.
Yeah, I know. You say the court-martial is proper for the mother. Why?
Well, it's a big possibility there, and let me just explain to you as a soldier right now, by the end of this month, I will...
No. Why is a court-martial proper for a mother who will not lay her baby on the tarmac and get on a plane?
Well, Mike, when you are in the military, you go through...
What is more important? Don't give me that. I don't want to hear that garbage, okay? We are talking about common sense. We are talking about a mother who has asked for time to find somebody to take care of her baby. Now, are you telling... What would you do, soldier, if you had an 11-month-old baby in your arms and the military, your commander was standing there saying, put the baby on the ground and get on the goddamn plane? What would you do, Stephen?
I agree with you, Mike. Completely.
What? No. Answer the question. What would you do? Would you put your son on the ground and get on the plane?
Yes or no.
Yes or no, Stephen. Don't give me a bunch of claptrap. If you were holding an 11-month-old baby in your arms and you didn't have a wife and there's nobody to take care of it and your commander says, put the baby on the ground and get on the plane, what would you do?
I would not get on the plane, Mike.
All right, then. And that's exactly what this woman has chosen. And you're telling me that she deserves a court-martial.
I'm telling you that more than likely she does because of the different...
What do you mean? No. There's no more than likely here. Come on, man. What the hell is wrong here? I mean, what are we talking about? We're not talking about somebody trying to bug out of the military. We're not talking about somebody trying to break her contract. We're talking about a woman who asked for more time to find somebody to take care of an 11-month-old baby.
Well, how much time has she had, Mike? That's my
question. No. She was told she would get a 3-month extension, then the Army pulled it away from her and told her to get on the plane.
Let me
ask you something, Stephen. Do you think the United States Army is in such goddamn dire straits in Afghanistan that a single mom with an 11-month-old baby not showing up on Sunday is somehow going to defeat the purpose of the U.S. military? Do you believe that, Stephen?
No.
All right, then. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. No, I'm not going to continue the conversation. Hell no. Man, go get my blood pressure medicine, will you? That's insane. That's insane. But Stephen said, would you put your baby down? No. Okay, good for you, Stephen. That's the only human answer. You know, when you join the military, you do not disconnect yourself from your sense of right and wrong, moral and immoral, ethical and unethical. You do not disconnect yourself from that. You do not say, when you take the oath to be a soldier, okay, this oath above all else, unless you're crazy. There are extenuating circumstances. This specialist faced an extenuating circumstance. If the military is so goddamn rigid with all this volunteer horse crap, I'll tell you what we need in this country. I'll tell you what we need. We need a universal draft. By God, when you turn 18, take your ass down to the recruiter because you are going in. Man or woman, boy or girl, show up. Get down there. And then maybe people would realize what this is all about and how insane it is. Put it to a vote. Come on, Obama. Go in front of the Senate. Get a joint session of Congress. Come on, Obama. Put it to the people. Put it to the people. You want a war? Then declare the goddamn thing and let's do it right.
Sorrow, no tomorrow, no tomorrow. And I find it kind of funny, I find it kind of sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very mad world. Mad world. Back a gun, dancing, down with it, and I killed my house in the country.
Oh, my goodness. It's time once again for podcast trivia here on The Malloy Show. Thank God this only happens three times a week. And all in the same night. No, we love giving away free subscriptions. It's the music! All right. If you get the right answer, you, of course, get a free one-year subscription to Malloy Podcast Downloads, all commercials having been surreptitiously removed. Barbara is the first one into the isolation booth here in San Rosel?
San Rosel.
San Rosel, California. How you doing, Barbara?
I'm fine, Mike. How are you?
I'm kind of angry tonight because of the story about Specialist Hutchinson, and I've been ranting and screaming, and I know it sounds like hell over the radio, and I apologize, but stories like that just make me crazy.
I haven't been able to hear you because Green 960 is broadcasting USF basketball.
That's what I heard, but they're streaming online, I think. And when the basketball game's over, I think they play the whole program all over again. So good. I'm glad you didn't hear me screaming and cussing and frothing at the mouth. You can catch it on the delayed broadcast. All right. You ready to play?
Yes, I am.
Okay. You know how it works. I will give you, a question and, four possible choices. And if you get the right one, you win. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Who said this about the rampant looting after we invaded Iraq? If you remember, it was just like Thieves' Day. This is the quote. Freedom's untidy, and free people are free to make mistakes and commit crimes and do bad things. Stuff happens. Who said that? Was it Deadeye Dick Cheney? Was it Colin Powell? Was it George W. Bush or Donald Rumsfeld? Let me give you the quote again. After we invaded Iraq, and there was a lot of looting by Iraqis, not by U.S. military, by Iraqis, and the statement was made, freedom's untidy, and free people are free to make mistakes and commit crimes and do bad things. You know, stuff happens. Who said that? Dick Cheney, Colin Powell, W., or Donald Rumsfeld?
I would have to go with W.
No, it was that crazy Donald Rumsfeld. He also said you go to war with the army you have, not the army that you wish you had. Oh well, thank you, Barbara. I appreciate your making an effort, and we'll get you on again. We'll do it again next week. Thanks, Barbara. All right, who else? All right, Charlie, who's driving in Arizona. Charlie, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, you ready?
I'm all set.
Okay.
And I also want to lighten up your blood pressure a little bit.
okay.
Let me throw it at you real quick.
Okay.
We need balance in news. That's why we have Fox News.
Somebody's got to tell.
Now let me fill you in on it.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
It's like watching contestants for a wet t-shirt contest with a bunch of guys walking around with their tongues mopping up the floor.
Yeah?
That's really what Fox News is. IQ of 78 and lower. I enjoy going into truck stops and seeing Fox News on their TV stations in McDonald's, Burger King, or wherever.
Yeah.
And making a comment to the guys that are watching, you know, I wish I'd turn that damn channel because I have an IQ that's above 78. I almost get in a fight once in a while, but...
Well, I guess you got to do that to, just stay in shape. All right, you ready to play, Charlie?
I think so.
All right, here we go. All you have to do is get the right answer to this this question. In an interview with Fox News Channel's Brit Hume, where did George W. Bush say he gets his news? Is it from A, he watches Fox News Channel religiously, B, he reads his news on the internets, C, he's briefed by people who, quote, probably read the news themselves, end quote, or he receives direct messages from God at daily prayer vigils?
Well, I want to say daily prayer vigils, but it's probably Fox News.
Oh, no. He said he's briefed by people who, quote, probably read the news themselves. But That's all right. Good try, Charlie. We'll, we'll do it again next Friday. We'll do it again. So thanks, Charlie. I appreciate you giving it a shot. All right. This is the last chance this hour. All right. Okay. Scott is in Philadelphia. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Mike. How you doing tonight?
I'm all right. You ready to try this?
I'm going to take a shot at it.
All right. All right. Here we go. What 2001 controversial political issue caused George W. Bush to say, this is an issue that speaks to morality and science and the juxtaposition of both? That's what he said. This is an issue that speaks to morality and science and the juxtaposition of both. That's what Bush said. Was he referring to A, joining the Kyoto Protocol to reduce greenhouse emissions, B, federal funding of stem cell research, C, overturning Roe v. Wade, or D, raising the acceptable level of arsenic in drinking water?
Wow, that's tough.
He said, this is an issue that speaks to morality and science and the juxtaposition of both. Was it A, the greenhouse gas emissions question, federal funding of stem cell research, overturning Roe v. Wade, or the acceptable level of arsenic in drinking water?
I think I'm going to go with B.
Federal funding of stem cell research?
Yep.
That's it! All right! All right, you got it right. That was a tough one. I mean, of course, here at the Malloy Show, we knew the answer to it because I'm looking at the answer, and I do remember that. But it could have been any one of those four.
It could have.
Could have been anyone because he was that much of a moron, just a complete moron. All right, now you wanted to make a comment, too, regarding the specialists being sent to Afghanistan, right?
Yeah, real quick, I listen to your show every night, wouldn't miss it. And when you started talking about that, it stirred something up in me, and I thought I wanted to do what little thing I could do. So right away I took the number down, and I made a call to Congressman Lee. Her inbox was full, so perhaps your message is resonating with her. And
well, it's not just us that are talking about this. Dar Jamail had an article at Common Dreams, a couple of television stations, KGO in San Francisco, and probably the Associated Press has picked up on it. So we were kind of like the last ones into the mix here. But I'm glad that that she's getting, the congresswoman is getting just a whole load of emails and phone calls, because you know how this works. Enough pressure and somebody's going to do something. If nobody does anything, if nobody says anything, they just squeak through, and no matter what the issue is. And this is a serious issue. You know, like I said, the woman's not trying to get out of anything. She's just trying to take care of her kid, her right. baby, and do her service and fulfill her contract. Oh, my God. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's a shame that she's going to get probably run through the ringer just because she does what every normal American does, has a child, and to take care of
and
it.
Wants to wants to take care of it. You know?
Right.
Oh, my God. Oh, well.
Yeah. I can't imagine being in that position.
I can't either. It's beyond belief. Given a choice of taking care of your child or going to, going into a military prison. And that's the choice the Army's given her. So
if this congressman has an ounce of humanity in her, she'll step up and do the right thing and help to take care of this young lady.
Well, I hope that's the case. All right, Scott.
Yeah, I'm going to research this over the weekend and keep in touch with it and see just what happens. I hope it turns out well.
Yeah, so do I. All right, Scott, thanks. Hold on, and Kathy will get the information, and congratulations on the podcast downloads. And thanks for tuning in, okay?
Hey, thanks. Have a great weekend.
All right, sir, you too. All right. We have a break here coming up pretty quick. You know, again, I just need to say this. I know a lot of you people say, "Oh, don't apologize when you cuss." I really unloaded there for a while. I do apologize. It must sound awful. It's okay once in a while to get pissed off and use a cuss word, but I was just going too fast and furious there, and I do apologize. But a story like that is. I can't, it's so easy to just not let that turn into a pressure situation for this mother, the soldier. I mean, that's the part that is maddening. I understand, in the military, there is only one way, and it's the Army's way. I get that. I know about chain of command. I know about, following orders. But I also know that you don't, have a brainectomy when you join the Army. Well, okay, I guess some people do, but that shouldn't be a requirement to join the Army.
That what you thought love was for. Maybe you're alone. Maybe you're lost. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of fighting. Fighting.
It's about 10 before the hour. Thanks to the contributors this week, Sharon Gordy, is our military affairs correspondent. Bruce Enberg is Prairie 2, our economic affairs correspondent. Kate Petrini, school teacher in San Francisco, is our education affairs correspondent. Bob Alexander and Bridget Wolf are two ethics advisors to the program, and the engineer and executive producer is Kathy Bay. A couple of quick emails here. Hector writes in, do we value hemorrhoids more than an 11-month-old child? Rush Limbaugh was allowed to skip military service because he had hemorrhoids, more or less. Yet we insist that a 20-year-old with an 11-month-old baby must be deployed to a war zone. Even during the Second World War, the military would allow a second or more sibling to serve stateside if another one was already deployed or had sacrificed his life. Brothers could only serve in the front lines if they asked for the service, despite the exemption being available. Hector. And regarding Tom Coburn and his the only senator to put a hold on a special appropriation, a bill to assist returning veterans. Coburn's reason is because I don't know where it's going to be funded. Irish Dave writes, Mike, let's review. Say you have a group of veterans, all of whom were trained to be killers. Let's say you have a state like Oklahoma with really lax gun laws, at least according to Bart Cop. And imagine that the enemy is defined as anyone trying to kill you or get you killed. Whoops. Irish Dave writes, Timothy McVeigh was a veteran who had some connection to Oklahoma, right? Yeah, Coburn's out of his mind, but every right-winger is. Every Republican office holder is insane. Clinically insane. Definably insane. All you have to do is listen to them. You don't have to be a psychiatrist or a psychologist. You really don't. All you have to do is listen to them because you have common sense, and common sense will say, well, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. And then the person, the Republican saying it, insists that it does make sense, and you or I sit there and go, but it does not make sense. And then when the Republican insists that it does for the umpteenth time, then you just write the whole thing off as someone who's mad. Back to your calls here. Mike is in Fargo, North Dakota. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike. I love your passion. That's why I listen to your show.
Well, thanks.
It's unique, and like you say, I mean, it's not too hard to tell the truth, is it?
Go ahead. It's a little hard to hear you, but go ahead.
I'm in a freight liner. But anyways, I was thinking, you know, I totally agree with reinstating the draft. And I think anyone 50 and under, no exceptions, no, you know, deferments, no oil on your ass yet.
Yeah, well, I can't allow you to use that kind of language, Mike. I really can't. I'm sorry. There are just certain words that I realize you're listening on XM, and XM or Sirius is okay because they are subscription channels, but. For all you people listening online, it's, you know, you get to hear what Mike said, but not over the air. We just can't do it. There are rules and regs that are still in effect. So, but I get the point. There should be. If we are going, look, I mean, how hard is this? If we are going to continue to be a country that invades other countries. With no provocation whatsoever, we're going to, you know, and don't give me the 9/11 story, because the 9/11 story, the training that the 9/11 hijackers got for the most part was in Florida and the Midwest and California. So let's not pretend that there was some high tech flight school in some mud hut village in Afghanistan. That's A. B, of the 19 people who, if you want to believe the official story, came to this country and committed mass murder, 15 of them were from Saudi Arabia. And if you even want to make the ridiculous step of saying, okay, the madrasas in Afghanistan train these people, then you go back to where did the money come from to fund these schools? From Saudi Arabia. Oh, okay. So all the, and the airplane that was the jet that was sent around the country when there was a no-fly order over the entire United States, and George W. Bush ordered a commercial jetliner to pick up all the bin Laden family members in this country and fly them safely home. Now, if you, and they're Saudi Arabian also, if you want to just swallow all that garbage and then say, oh yeah, well that means we should invade Afghanistan, then you're a goddamn fool. So these are wars of opportunity, both of them. If you want to have a war of opportunity, if you're that kind of a sick, twisted society, okay, let's all get nuts. Put in universal military service. Bring back the draft. Bring conscription. And all you so-called libertarians, sit down and shut your goddamn mouths about, well, you're not, no, that's, can't do that. Listen, you want war? But let's do it the right way, okay? Yeah, let's do it the right way. I did too much yelling tonight. Have a great weekend. I'll see you Monday. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. Have a great weekend, Kevin, Kinney, wherever you are.
Are you burdened?